afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Confession of Faith, week 25. We're looking at Baptist Faith and Message, Article 5, God's Purpose of Grace, the second paragraph today. Let's pray. We'll jump right into it. Father, we thank you for your grace toward us. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. Thank you for your spirit that you've filled us with and you lead us with. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. I pray that you'll help us this afternoon as we think about the great truth of your purpose of grace. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right. God's Purpose of Grace, Baptist Faith and Message, Article 5. And I'll read, for context, the first paragraph, which we discussed last week. Election is the gracious purpose of God according to which he regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, and glorifies sinners. And so it's basically God's eternal purpose to save sinners. Those are the different aspects of that salvation. It is consistent with the free agency of man, and it comprehends all the means in connection with the end. In other words, God's purpose of grace not only includes the goal, the destination, but it also includes everything that he uses in order to reach that goal, in order to arrive at that destination. It is the glorious display of God's sovereign goodness and is infinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. It excludes boasting and promotes humility. That's the central practical application of this doctrine, to not boast, but to be humble before God. Now, this week, what I'd like to do is look at the paragraph, and then I have three cross-references to look at in Scripture, and then we'll be through. So, here we go. All true believers endure to the end. Now we have a specific aspect of God's purpose of grace, the endurance of believers to the end, the perseverance of the saints. This has been called, you could also call it the preservation of the saints, which puts the emphasis on the fact that it is God who preserves believers. From our perspective, we persevere to the end, but from heaven's perspective, from a godly God's perspective, he preserves us to the end. All true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere, there's that word, to the end. Persevere, the perseverance of the saints, their endurance to the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation. It happens all the time. It happens to every single believer to one degree or another. Not always the same degree, not always the same way, but we all sin. We're all guilty of neglect. We're all guilty of falling prey to temptation. But what this is talking about is a season of falling into sin, falling into a life of sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, hinder your own spiritual growth, basically, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves. Those are two things that result from this after this semicolon, right? After that comma, rather. You bring reproach upon Christ and what he's doing, and temporal judgments on yourselves, the discipline of God to try to get you out of this state of having fallen into sin. And yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So falling into a season like this doesn't mean you lose your salvation. God, in his timing, will restore you through discipline, through different things that he uses, through his power, by his grace. The main point here is that all true believers endure to the end, and those whom God has accepted and sanctified will never fall from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end, the perseverance of the saints. And hopefully it has come out already that we do not look to ourselves for the strength to persevere, for the strength to endure. We must be rooted in God's power, in God's faithfulness, in His promises. That is the way we endure to the end. God preserves us. Some Bible verses. 1 Jude 24:25. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. The phrase I want us to keep in our hearts, or to have in our hearts, is Him who is able. Him who is able. This doctrine is about God. Remember, that's the article, Article 5. God's purpose of grace. He is going to accomplish His purpose in His children, for His children. That's why this perseverance of the saints comes under God's purpose of grace. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. He is going to keep you to the end. He is going to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. So this is a doxology, which means a word of praise, a word of worship, a word of exaltation, lifting up God, lifting up Christ, specifically that He is able to keep us from stumbling, and He is able and He will present us blameless before His throne. Now one from John 6. Oh, a long narrative, a long teaching section, and Jesus in discussion and debate, but it's connected to a previous miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. So I'm plucking this out of context. But remember, these confession of faith devotions are meant to be a springboard for your prayer, for your Bible study. So I'll take the liberty to pluck this out of context and focus just on two verses here. In John 6:39-40, Jesus says, "This is the will of Him who sent me." So making a statement about the Father and the Father's will in sending Him. "This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day." So all that the Father gives to the Son, specifically people, He is going to raise them up on the last day. So you see the connection of two things here. The Father giving the Son people, and then the Son raising them up on the last day. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him," there it is, you look upon the Son, you believe in Him, "should have eternal life." That's coming to faith. That's turning to Christ, receiving salvation. But then there's a comma, and then He connects it with this: "I will raise him up on the last day." So you see the two bookends of the Christian experience: coming to faith in Christ and being saved, and being risen up on that last day, receiving your final inheritance of glory. All who are saved are also risen on the last day. Both. So it's a great, great encouragement for the believer that they will persevere because it's Jesus who is keeping them. And then another one, again, taking out of context, it's the Good Shepherd passage in John 10, down in 27. Very, very encouraging. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, quick word about this phrase, hear my voice, because it'll be important in just a few moments in what we're saying here. That's shorthand for not only are they able to hear Jesus in a spiritual sense, not hear Him audibly, but to hear and receive by faith, hear and receive and obey Jesus' commands. Sheep, so it's a metaphor, sheep hearing His voice. Hearing Him, recognizing this is Jesus speaking, and receiving that with faith and obeying. "My sheep hear my voice." That's the marker, the definitive characteristic of the sheep of Christ. They hear His voice. "And I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." There you go. Perseverance, preservation, endurance to the end. They'll never perish. Why? Because He gives them eternal life. Eternal life, "and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Now, it should have been enough that He said, "they will never perish." That should end the discussion right there. If you receive eternal life from Jesus, you will never perish. But to strengthen the point, he goes on. No one will snatch them out of his hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So he gives three levels here. It should have been enough that he said, I give them, actually four levels, eternal life. That should be enough. Eternal life is life that never ends. It's a quality of life. It's life in fellowship with God, but it also is life that never ends. It's life in fellowship with God that will never end. That should be enough. It's eternal life. That's what it is. But he takes it to another level. They'll never perish. Now that should be enough. You'll never perish. Then he goes to another level. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That should be enough. But then he goes another level. The Father who's given them to me, which we saw in John 6, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. The absolute assurance of the child of God. And now the reason I brought up earlier what here, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. That's the definitive marker of the child of God. They hear and receive by faith and obey Christ's commands. The reason I brought that up is because some will argue in here that you can perish even though you've received eternal life, and you can, as a metaphor, climb out of Jesus' hands or climb out of the Father's hands. You can get out of this salvation state if you're the one who chooses to do that. And I don't know why you would want to argue that. Why would you even want that situation for yourself? And that's not what the text says. You have to add that into the text. It doesn't say anything about that. But the reason that argument falls apart, even within John chapter 10, is because the sheep hear and obey Jesus. And unless Jesus commands them to get out of his hand, they'll never want to climb out of his hand. They'll never get out of his hand. And because they hear him, and they know him, and they follow him, and they're kept by him, which is the point. They have eternal life, number one, to strengthen it. They'll never perish. Number two, to strengthen that. No one can snatch Christ's sheep out of his hand. And to strengthen it even further, number four, the Father's greater than him, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So there you have it. The God's purpose of grace. And last week we looked at election. This week we looked at perseverance. Perseverance. And don't ever forget, all of this is about the glory of God. Your election and your perseverance to the end, and everything in between, is about God's glory. It's about God displaying his might and his grace, his merciful love, that he might be worshipped for it. Father, we thank you for this work that you're doing. We look to you. We trust in you. Help us to look to you more consistently and trust in you more deeply. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right, well, God bless you. Thanks for joining me again. And I'll see you Sunday for Catechism, the 26th Lord's Day. And I'll see you next Monday for Confession of Faith, week 26. God bless you. See you soon.